What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/new book and get your copy today.
Joey, I'd like to welcome you into an elite club, one that very few get to achieve at the level that you are, and one that I'm proud to be a part of, and that's the 40-year-old club. Welcome, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, seeing you go through it so many years ago, I'm surprised you even remembered your acceptance speech. But I first like to thank my parents who made this all possible. And secondly, for my wife, who hasn't killed me up to this point, that may allow me to get in.
I was wondering if she was going to drag you across the finish line, like literally.
But actually, no, she actually threw me the best 40-year-old birthday party of all time.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
It's amazing to have seen you age so well. And I agree that last night we had one of the most awkward and then amazing dinners of my life. I mean, just to kind of bring you guys into our lives. So Joey and I, we are in our wives, are driving over to have dinner with two other couples at a chef's house. Now, this is not a common thing for me. When I leave and I go to some chef's house, it's usually like Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, right? That's the kind of house that I would show up at. But no, we show up at a couple's house from New York who have come in town, have created this tasting table. We've never done this before. It's unique. So we show up, and this is October, right? So we've got people in this neighborhood we're showing up into have gone all out. Like, this is the best neighborhood decorated I've ever seen for Halloween. The neighbor, we walk up. We got this hurricane coming in, so you can feel the rain. You can
blowing.
You can smell it. The neighbor's got the smoke machine going. I don't know if I'm at a Prince concert.
The purple lights are flashing. There's like almost like thunder kind of things going on.
They've got like 30 graves in the front yard with these like ghosts rising out of it, and they've got a pumpkin illuminated on top of the street light.
Yeah, this is legit.
And while we're sitting there, we're sitting on the front porch saying, I think this is the house we should be at. It's not like a we're open sign. And so we start pressing the Ring doorbell, but you can tell it's not lighting up. It doesn't seem to be making a sound. It's a little bit awkward. Like, do we knock on the door? We did. Do we knock louder? We did. But also, you got this creepiness coming from the next door neighbor. Yeah. That
in the background, there's this consistent voice saying, I'm watching you. I'm watching you. I'm like, okay, if you're watching, let us in. I mean, is this where we're supposed to be?
I know. It's like, is that the Ring doorbell? And I'm thinking, this probably, you might want to get control over the neighbor before you have this party. So we get in this couple's house. It's amazing. And we sit there and watch them cook. And so I won't take you through all of the stuff, but I will just say, as we sit down, Joey,
give them the highlight.
They started bringing us like, I don't know, 8-9 courses.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
More courses than I had in my first 2 years of college, I think. And we sit down, and the first thing on the table is a Cuban sandwich in the shape of a cigar.
Like a legit cigar.
Like, it looks like we're going to have to put pictures of this on Instagram.
Yes.
For you to go check. You're going to go check out the Wealth White Wall Street Instagram handle. We'll put pictures of these meals, the different courses. Crazy. Had a beet salad, and I think somebody's comment was, that's the best beet salad that didn't taste like dirt.
Giving it credit. It also had a main entree that was the pig's nose to tail, complete with its own homemade pork rind. Now, I know you mentioned this, Russ. That was the only piece of the dish that you recognized.
There was.
The pork rind.
I've had a pork rind in my day. Well, in the last, they topped this thing off at the end. they bring us this box, and I didn't know if like a bird was going to come flying out of it. They're going to do like a magic show.
A dove?
No, it literally is a smoked glass box. When you open the doors and the smoke escapes, it's a s'more, a marshmallow on top of a stick. It's like a sucker, if you will, where the whole thing is edible.
Yeah, that was like mind-blowing.
It was like a graham cracker chocolate stick that the marshmallow went on that was toasted through the smoke that they pumped into the thing.
Well, and if you didn't already know that we were completely outclassed in this thing, the best part was the descriptions. Oh. Right? I could never do it any justice. In fact, I remember one of the wines that they brought out, and he was explaining where it was from, the region in Spain, this white wine. It's a Ruida Honora Vera Denominacion de Origen. I'm like, okay, that's all I got.
Well, that was the thing. I was just sitting there, and my wife kind of whispers in my ear. She goes, the food's awesome, but the descriptions are even better. And we're just like, just giddy. I mean, but I mean, you know, what do you do when you're in somebody's house? It's supposed to be sort of like a restaurant. I'm like, I'm going to check around a little bit. I'm going to go over here and see what's on the shelf. You know, I'm going to pull out a book or two. Can I go into your bedroom? Is that kosher? I don't know.
I'm going to go ahead and say no on that one. Okay.
All right. Well, Joey, what was unique about that, I think, is almost as unique about today's episode as we slowly bridge into that. We had the opportunity today to interview Adam Southey and Justin Sliva with the Casual Friday podcast. These guys are doing land flipping in a unique way. You've heard us talk about land flipping. You may even be doing it. I love just the creativity that comes from how people can create passive income. You and I are up to over $6,000 a month right now in our land flipping businesses.
That's right.
Net. That's after expenses. And today's episode is just another way maybe to get you super excited about how land flipping could be an option for you. What were your thoughts or takeaways from today's episode?
Yeah, I loved hearing another perspective. And maybe in the past, you've heard us talk about other ways and you're like, well, that doesn't quite fit for me. Today's episode may be the way that you need to implement to get to financial freedom. And ultimately, our goal is just to give you exposure to these ideas so that you can take control and you can make something happen.
All right, let's jump into this interview today with Adam Southey and Justin Sliva from the Casual Friday podcast.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Before we get to today's interview, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you we have a community of people on the same journey as you.
Today's ideas and others just like them are exposed within this journey, Joey. There's over 3,000 people joining you and I on this process, and I want you to be a part of this. Don't miss out on going to wealthwallstreet.com/community and take part of this journey.
Welcome into the show. Today we have a double feature, right? We've got Adam Southey and Justin Sliva joining us today. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
We don't ever get a chance to interview two people at once, but yet every time someone interviews us, they do. So this is going to be fun. This is in golf terms, Joey. They like to call this four ball.
Really? You had to go there. Okay.
All yeah. Right, I mean, good. You're the proclaimed golfer, but yet you didn't understand the term. So I just wanted to make sure everybody on the podcast knew.
Everybody be clear that four ball is a golf term.
That's okay. Right. Hey, there's 10 four ball. When you're playing that, everybody's going to play their own ball and everybody's going to come out with their own score. So here's a beautiful thing about this interview is that Justin and Adam have been doing land flipping for the last four and a half years. And I want to see who is doing it better. Justin, Adam, Joey, or us.
Well, that's a really short podcast. Really. I mean, we're done. I mean, we're just getting started. So,
well, guys, thank you for coming and joining us. Obviously, you can see our podcast gets derailed very quickly. But just for the listeners who haven't had a chance to listen, you guys have a podcast called Casual Fridays Real Estate Investing, correct?
Yep. Casual Fridays REI. You can find it anywhere podcasts are.
And you guys are talking about land flipping, which our audience has heard a few times, but maybe not how you do it. So if you would just share quickly how you guys are able to do what you're doing and the success that you've had so far.
Okay, so what we typically do is we send out blind offers based about 30% on market value, looking for a property that's recreational style property, what we refer to as a bass boat property. And that's something that's $50,000, about $50,000 or less in market value, similar to like a recreational vehicle, a bass boat. We send out blind offers for that. We get those back and we bring them to market. The value that we, the reason we shop that market value is we can automate that with land brokers in the area that leverage their list, their people, and they can answer and show those properties as well. So it's a neat little niche that we get into. We've done about 500 deals. And I'm going to clarify something real quick, because our land businesses are separate. We talk about it together on our podcast. You know, our journey is essentially the same.
And you said that you guys are using land brokers to help you sell the property. Did I hear that right?
It's a mix, yeah. So there's certain price range we'll sell on ourselves, but for the strong majority of the land that we buy, because we're trying to keep our hands out of it, we will list it with a broker if we can find a good one in the area.
Yeah, we did a live event, and this is kind of going to probably blow your mind. Last year, we did a live event. We called it Project One. We sold it out. We didn't tell the people what they were coming for. They showed up, and we said, hey, we sent out 55,000 blind offers. You are part of the deal for being here. You're going to get 10% of the profits. And none of them had an idea that that was going to happen. They just showed up like in blind faith saying, hey, these guys are nuts. You know, we'll see what they come up with next. And so what we did is we sent out those blind offers. We bought the best of the best properties, and we're starting to close those now. So we battled through COVID. You know, it's still going on, but we had to battle through shutdowns, COVID, get these properties. And one of the cool things for us is we bought a couple 100-acre ranches on this deal, where one of them is just about $110,000 profit property. Another one was a $60,000 profit property. We got a couple other ones in there that are $50,000 and $60,000 profit properties. And just using our normal technique, just ramped the mail up, dumped it all out at once and processed it and put it to the brokers so they could sell it.
That's awesome. Now, what were you guys' background before you got into doing this?
So I was a full-time real estate agent and investor for 8 or 9 years till the market crashed, and I went down burning with it. And then Justin and I have been friends for 20 years, and he was an executive on a railroad at the time. And he's like, hey, I get the job as a conductor. It's been the worst job you ever had. You're going to hate it, but I'll help you get back on your feet. And so I jumped in. I worked on the railroad for about 4 years while I figured out a way to get back in the real estate. And it was through that time where I found land investing and jumped into land investing and been doing it full time. So now, since.
So like you said, I worked for a Fortune 150 company for 13 years, left and went to a smaller railroad as a chief transportation officer, went to the general manager's role, which is the equivalent of a chief operating officer, and then started land investing when he brought that up and kind of went from there and just took off and ran with it. Had one of those Friday morning come meet the CEO calls, go in and talk to him. He says, hey, you no longer have a job here, and I have this brand new business, and we've been like 2 months into it. And I'm like, well, shit, I can go to work for somebody else or see what we can do and make this work. And that was 4 years ago.
Well, you just shared one of my questions was what was your motivation to do this? Obviously, at that point, it was, hey, I got to make this work because this is it. But before that, like, what was it about land flipping and that model that attracted you to it and made you decide to step into it?
Well, for me, it was I was coming out of being like in a lot of financial trouble. And with land investing, you can get into it at any price range. Like, it doesn't matter if you're super rich or if you're broke as can be, like, you can get started. And so I had very little money, and the first few deals I ever did were 2.5 acre parcels that I paid $100 an acre for. So I bought 3 properties totaling 7.5 acres. I bought them for $750. Then I sold each property for $1,000. That's it for me. I was hooked, right? And at that point, just start scaling and keep growing and going.
Yeah, you start to dial in your niche, what you like. Because, I mean, that sounds cool. You're like, hey, I'm turning $250 into $1,000. I'd do that all day. then it comes a point where you want to try something different. For me, what really caught me was I'm seeing my best friend buy 5 acres for $500. I was like, there's just no way you can buy that kind of property for that cheap. And then we went out and we did our first marketing campaign. We ended up buying 21 properties off of it. It was like 2,300 blind offers that went out, and we made 70 grand in 3 months. And I was like, wow, now I could really put a little bit of money. I had money saved. I wasn't in a thousand bucks in my name. You know, I said, okay, my wife, I said, hey, look, I'm going to put 20 grand behind you, and we're just going to really run this thing and see what happens. And then just kept turning it. And you say, you know, what's that why at that point? Well, mine was two-year-old twins sitting at home that needed to be fed. My wife didn't work. We accustomed to a certain lifestyle. While we could live for a year with no problems, I said, I need to really see what I can do in a year, and just went crazy with it.
Well, for the person who's listening to this for the first time, walk us through, Justin, if you would, and Adam, you can kind of jump in there. What does that model look like? You mentioned that you do this mailing, but I don't know if, you know, they don't even understand what that even means, what that entails. Like, one, how do you know who to mail to? Are you using certain criteria? Would you mind just walking through some of the basics there for us?
Yeah. So what we typically do is we identify a market that we want to shop towards. So when you kind of develop a niche or a type of property, whether it's a state and county and area you like, we look at, like right now, with the way I mail is going to be different than the way a new person would, but I'll bring it back to where, you know, we'll identify a state and a county and say, okay, hey, I'm going to mail LaFleur County, Oklahoma. And because it's got mountains, it's got a Ouachita National Forest, just follow with me. And it's, say market value, there's $1,000 per acre for recreational land. So I'm going to say, I'm going to send everybody that lives, that owns vacant property in that county, I'm going to send them a blind offer that says, hey, I will buy your property cash for $325 an acre. Send that out. Typically, you're going to get a response rate somewhere between 2 and 4% saying either go screw yourself or yeah, we want to sell. Then you're going to close on, you know, depending on when it was, it'd be anywhere from 1 out of 500 to 1 out of 5,000. Just kind of depends on the market. COVID really threw some waves into it this year, but typically we close about 1 out of 900, we said. We get that in that property, we own it, we send it to a land broker, and they will put it up for sale for us. So, you know, finding a market that has similar market value all over the country, we just replicate, rinse, and repeat that all over the country.
All right, I do have a question off of that. So the method that you mentioned there is that you're going to send out these blind offers. You're going to get 1 out of 900 that you end up closing on. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then you mentioned, okay, you buy it and then you turn around and put it with a land broker. So the obvious question that somebody's listening is saying, well, why didn't the person who owned the property go to the land broker directly? I know you have an answer for that.
Share with us. Yeah, that's for us. It's, you know, a lot of times you're going to see in different situations in different states, but A, they don't know they want to sell it. They didn't know they could go to a broker. A lot of times brokers don't want to deal with smaller land deals. You know, so when you're talking $4,000 or $5,000 or $7,000 offering for property, a broker gets paid 3% or 5%, depending on the state. They don't really want to do that. It's not worth their time. So they won't even take the call from it. So we offer cash, we open close. You know, I'm not going to say every deal is super clean, but when you get into something that say it's a 40 acre there and it's $40,000 market value, you've offered 15 grand, but husband has died. There wasn't a will. It needs to be probated. You offer to pay those closing costs. You offer to probate it. Now you're buying property. You've helped that person out of that issue where they couldn't have sold it. And you've helped them fix that problem.
That's awesome. And then at that point, because you're selling it, I think I heard you say you guys sell on terms. Is that correct?
We do offer terms. Yeah.
So okay. We offer it, but for the vast majority, they're cash deals. Yeah.
They're cash deals. Okay. Yeah. And so when you're selling a property at 40,000, is it easier to get the land broker then? I mean, obviously still you're paying them a commission on probably a much smaller number than they're normally selling. How hard is that?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're still making that 5% off of 40,000 versus 5 or 6,000, 10,000. Right. So they're a little bit more. Once you do a couple deals with them and they see how easy you work with, you're not somebody that you'll take the offer that comes in as long as you're profitable, then they'll keep working with you.
Okay,
perfect. Well, it's more of a volume game at that point with those guys, right? Like,
yeah,
you're giving them like a almost a monopoly or exclusivity to sell your stuff. They're going to probably be more open to that arrangement.
Yeah, yeah. We have one agent in Southeast Oklahoma, and she's listed over $1 million worth of stuff with us, but then also people that we've trained also list stuff with her too. So at this point, and she could have her entire year just based off of us and
the program. Yeah,
so she's very likely to take any of those and give her.
Yeah, like I sent her a listing the other day of six. These six are in closing right now. Get ready for them. So she, at her leisure, she'll go take pictures of them, send them back. It's like, ooh, this is a great one. I've already got a guy for it. Ooh, this is a good one too. Let's do this. Oh, that one's not so good. Let's dump it for this price. And she's 100% okay with that.
Gotcha. All right. So the, I love the fact that you're figuring out ways to do it differently, right? Because the model that Joey and I and our audience listens to us, we put out a passive income report every month. We share openly what we're doing, and we are doing land flipping as well. And we're doing a completely different model, sounds like, from you guys. I mean, our model has been buying like little, small, like quarter acre lots, you know, buying them really cheap, very similar, you know, for, you know, anywhere between $500 to $1,250. And then selling them for $6,000. The difference is you guys are buying much bigger property and you're using land brokers to do that. Is you said earlier that you call it the bass boat strategy. Does that play into how you're doing it, why you're doing it your way versus ours?
Yeah, I mean, we've obviously done it the way that you've done it, right? We found that once you add in like marketing costs and whatnot, it takes away a lot of your profit. If you buy it for $1,000, sell it for $4,000, we've spent $1,000 on marketing. That really eats up a lot of it. And at that profit range, you got to do a ton of deals. And since there won't be any brokers that will sell that stuff for you, then you got to be the one selling it. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're spending a lot of time taking phone calls, writing agreements, setting everything up. And we actually talked about this on our show today. It's like the guy who does 300 deals a year but makes $3,000 profit per one, it's like not where we want to be. I personally would like, I'll do five deals a year to make $80,000 to $100,000 profit. I'll be happy all day. I'm working 10 hours a week, enjoying life, doing whatever I want to do. And so you just got to kind of decide. There's no wrong way, right? Just what do you feel comfortable doing?
Yeah, the biggest thing is you see is a lot of people, they say, okay, well, good, you can train a VA. Well, now you're managing a person. And for me, my corporate background, one of my last jobs, I think I had 5,000 people that worked for me. I was responsible for their safety, the service they provided, the budget that made sure they all had their jobs. I don't want the stress in that in my life anymore. I would rather hire a professional that does that and say, hey, you know, that's why we don't sell clothes, because we send it to a title company. We're not doing all the due diligence. I want to make sure it's got access. I want to make sure the topography's good, make sure there's actually value in it. The due diligence and the chain of title, I'm sending it to title insurance. It cost me $700 to $1,000 for them to close it. I have that baked in the type of deal I do. Then I send it to a broker. They get paid per deal they do for me when they perform. I'm not having to pay a VA every week to keep churning out this machine. And I think that people get lost in the idea that, hey, well, I've got to have this huge machine running at all times, versus we can slow it down a little bit, automate with professionals in their field, and still make plenty of money.
Yeah. Well, talk about the level of person that you're usually selling to then. Have you seen a marketably difference in that individual when you transition from selling a $6,000 property to a $25,000 or $40,000 property?
100% different type of person. When you think about, and I want you to kind of, since y'all do this, I'm going to speak to you, and I want you to kind of close your eyes, visualize that person that calls you and you have it listed for 800 down. They say, I can't do 800 down this week, but could you do 300 down? And maybe I give you 300 next week too, to do that down payment. Is that a person that really needs to be on a finance plan for the next 5 years at $100 a month to buy this piece of property? It's probably not in their best interest. Now, the type of buyer we have that comes and buys from us, they probably have a 401k. They can go to the bank, get a loan, or we offer financing with 25 to 30% down, because we're not the bank, but hey, it's approved, it's guaranteed 30% down, 10% interest, and I'll hold it up to 120 months for you. So they have options there, or they just bring cash and they make a cash offer because their agent's talking to your agent.
We had a guy fly in from Alaska last week with 80,000 cash.
Yeah.
Bought a property right then and there. Like, you know, he was prepared to do that stuff. They're just a higher level of buyer. And it's almost thought that like, they're not going to, they don't even ask for owner finance a lot of times. It's just assumed that they don't have the cash, they got to go get a bank, loan from the bank.
Yeah.
So it just makes it easier for us.
So talk to us about like our process at Wealth Without Wall Street goes through really getting clarity on what does financial freedom look like for you, getting control of where your cash is flowing and making sure that you're saving the most efficient way, and then picking a path or a course to create passive income, which will eventually lead to financial freedom. Talk about like your land business as it relates to that, that whole process. What is your business? Has it afforded you so far? And what is it like, what is it morphing to in the future? Like, how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, well, for me, in general, I would definitely say it has morphed into that. Like, Justin and I just last week or 2 weeks now ago, we spent a week in Colorado on our motorcycles, you know, just out enjoying the mountains and whatever we're doing. All our friends that aren't doing this, we're sitting in corporate offices. We're out there riding through the dirt on adventure bikes for 4 days straight. And we're selling deals while we're out there. You know, at this point, the way we have it set up, because we have professionals that do all the work, right? We have title companies, attorneys, realtors. I mean, a 10-hour week or 15-hour week is pretty standard. And we just spent 2 hours at lunch before this interview. It's, you know, it's the middle of the week. So from that aspect, we were definitely living that life. And for us, as long as we can continue to put the mail out and reinvest money while living life we want, then that's, for me, that seems pretty perfect.
Yeah, and I want to go two different ways with this, because I want to play the dad role and be like, I'm a husband, I'm a dad, and I have to make sure that I can get there and be at my kids. Last year, I got to be what's called an all-star dad at my kids' school. Yeah, I get to show up and high-five the kids as they walk in. We can't do that this year because of COVID. But, you know, a couple days a month to go do that, get to have lunch with them. You know, I've heard like the motivational speakers saying that you want to be able to go see your kids get an award without asking your boss. You know, that's freedom, living your life in your own way. To Adam's point, you know, we went and rode adventure bikes because one of our friends had a kidney transplant. We thought he was going to die. We booked a trip a week before. He got cleared out to the doctor after he had his transplant. We took off to the mountains for a week. There was no question about if we could. It was just, we did. You know, that's to me is a freedom. Now, monetarily, when you say, okay, where does this business go and what does it do? Last week, I was looking at my inventory, just like where stuff was in the pipeline and what was coming in. 4.5, 5 years ago, I bought property off the Arkansas, the Coastal website. We've written a book about it called Coffee Money Real Estate, where you can buy a property for $50. You know, bought three of those and flipped them for $3,000. And as of last week, I have $2.1 million in cash in dirt that we own free and clear. Now, when you say, okay, in 4 years, you generated that, and that's just reinvesting your money back into it. Not counting, you know, 50 so notes that are out there that are paying for the next 9.5, 10 years, whatever that looks like, with 10% interest on top of that, with tons of equity built into the deal, like y'all know, because y'all do it. So when you get to a point that starts snowballing, now you'd say, okay, what is that next step? So we're working on development plans for subdivides, and I'm doing a commercial building, so like it's a warehouse suite that we're working on right now. We're going ground up with. So we're taking that and trying to go, what is a more generational look? How do we get 20 years, 10 to 20 years out with the money that we made on these short flips?
Well, I love that. I mean, what you guys both said is that freedom is for you individualistic, right? You have your own idea of what it looks like and that you're able to live it today. You're not having to wait. Because earlier you said a cuss word, by the way, and I won't hold it against you. You said the word 401k, and that we don't mention those sort of words on our show. Yeah. And one of the major reasons that we hate that word is because that word is associated with having to work till 59 and a half. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't sound like either one of you guys wanted to do that. You didn't want to have to wait until 60 to benefit from your hard work. And most of the people listening to our show don't either. And I love that you're creating a business, but not necessarily a job. Because a lot of times people go out and they leave their W-2 job and they go create a business that ultimately they work 80 hours a weekend and usually work and make 60% of what they did in their corporate job. Yeah. You guys didn't do that. You left and are getting your time freedom back in addition to living a lifestyle that is what you wanted to, it sounds like.
I would say that's 100% spot on, except that we're both sick in the head. And we decide to add more stuff to it. So this, hey, let's start a podcast. Hey, let's start an education course. Hey, let's fund other people's deals. So that 10-hour work week turns into a 50 or 60-hour work week just because we're sick in the head and that's what we like to do. It's like, hey, let's make another business. That'll be fun. Hey, let's send out 60,000 pieces of mail in 1 month and see what happens. Let's see if we can melt our systems down and see if it really works or not.
Now, I want to shift to something you just said, Justin, about you being the what did you say it was, what kind of dad at the school?
All-star dad.
Yeah. So first of all, how old are your kids?
I've got 7-year-old twins and I've got a 2.5-year-old.
Okay. So obviously they're probably a little bit young to be passing down this business and the knowledge with it, but how do you see that playing into, you mentioned generational wealth at this point. How do you foresee that working out with your family?
That's a good question. My kids, they know about what I do. They know daddy buys property. That's what they think. They understand that everything is somebody's property. So essentially daddy could buy anything, anywhere, anytime. So if we see a trees with a fence, they're like, that's somebody's property. We could buy it, couldn't we? We could if we offered them the right amount of money. So that's what they see right now. I hope that they take the idea of that dad was able to do something in the office every day as a, they have the freedom to choose what they do. They're not stuck to the traditional 9-to-5 that they don't want to be. I hope that I'm able to put them in a place where they understand how to make their money work for them and them not work for their money. And that's a conversation we have. Like I say, yeah, you either work for your money or your money works for you. And that's something I'm trying to instill now in them. The generational stuff is, you look at the kids that's parents, when they graduated college, they paid college, paid cash. They didn't have debt for it, or they were able to give them a down payment for their first house. They're a little bit farther ahead. If you throw the money knowledge in with that, they're typically a little bit farther ahead in their mid-30s and mid-40s than the people that aren't and didn't have that little bit of knowledge or a little bit of money smarts, if you will. So I hope to put them in a position where they're better off at that point. What that looks like, it's morphing every day. You know, if it's me owning 6 warehouse suites and each one's cash flowing $4,000 or $5,000 a month, and by the time they're old enough to realize that they're paid off, and now it's $10,000 or $12,000 a month each one, they're going to be in a little bit different situation. But I want them to still have to earn it. I don't want it to be given to them, because we've seen that side of the coin too with other people.
I want to throw in there real quick too, when you mentioned age, like, I don't know how important that is, but Justin's nephew.
Yeah,
he's, how old is he?
11.
He's 11 and he's bought, so he's flipped
20 deals, yeah, using our copy money real estate method that we have in our book. So my older brother, he does some land flipping with us, but my nephew heard about it, read the book, and started doing it. So he walks around with a big roll of cash because he's bought, you know, buys them for 50, 60 bucks, sells them for $1,000. And he just does it over and over and thinks it's fun. And so, he's 11.
So, you mentioned, I couldn't hear exactly, you said you guys have a section in your book. Give us the name of the book and give us a section that you're referring to again.
Okay. It's the book altogether. It's called Copy Money, Real Estate Investing. You can find it on Amazon, any ebook distributor. And it talks about buying $50 properties from the state of Arkansas and selling them on eBay. We have people that sell them on Zillow, Craigslist. And so you're buying them for 50 bucks and then you're selling them back on eBay for 500, 600 bucks.
That's awesome. All right. Well, as we get ready to end, I want to end with you, Adam, because you mentioned earlier that you were a conductor for 4 years, right? And now I have a 7-year-old son, and he would not think of that as the worst job one could have. He would think of that as the coolest job one could have. So where, if you wouldn't have found this, do you think you'd still be on the train?
I can promise you one thing, is that you have never met a worse employee in your life. I was never built to work for anybody. So if I had not found land investing, I would have found a way to quit. And I may have gone broke again and ended up back somewhere like a railroad, but I would not still be there now. But I'm very thankful that I found this, because given that I could have got started where I was at so cheap and then eventually scale, just it's the best thing.
All right. Well, I appreciate both of you. Thank you for sharing. I love it when we get to hear new ideas or an idea done differently. And Joey, I'm going to go ahead and say that Adam and Justin, they beat us today.
They beat us in the four ball. They beat us in the
four ball. You and I just got shut out after about 6 holes, I think.
Yeah, there was no sandbagging. At least we knew that they were going to beat us. But guys, thank you so much for being willing to come on the show and share with our audience and hopefully inspire others to take control. That is really, at the end of the day, what we're hoping people are listening and being inspired to take action and to start making the life that they really dream of, instead of just accepting what they've always had. So,
and again, tell our audience how they can find you, both podcasts and on social or wherever.
Yeah. So the podcast is Casual Fridays, REI, comes out every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all the socials at Casual Fridays, REI.
All right,
CasualFridaysREI.com.
All right, perfect. Thank you, guys. I appreciate having you on the show. It was awesome to meet you.
Great. Nice to meet you.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.